Gracious Perik Aleph, Mishnah Dalad, 1-4. This is the second of three Mishnayos in the series talking about women bringing their chatas after giving birth or having a miscarriage. And the Mishnah here says, Elu mevios ve'eino ne'echal. The following women would bring a chatas ha'of after having a miscarriage, but that chatas ha'of would not be eaten. So these are going to be scenarios where it's a suffix, it's not certain she had to bring it. And meaning we don't know the nature of her miscarriage, what it was. Now the rule is that one essentially can never bring a chatas out of suffix, not a normal thing to do. However, this is unusual for two reasons. First of all, this is not a chatas which is coming for a sin. When a person brings a sin offering, he has to normally, it has to be specific to that person and his particular sin that he did and be brought with certitude. There's no such thing as like making a tanaim, maybe I have to bring this, or maybe it's on some sin, I didn't know what I did. No. Always on a specific sin. However, here, the woman's bringing her chatas because it's a sin offering prescribed for having given birth or having, in this case, a miscarriage, but there's no sin. Second of all, if you'd bring a chatas misafik, and maybe it's really not a chatas, you'd have the possibility that what you're offering is an animal is actually chulin, not kachim. As you consecrate this animal as a chatas, but if you don't need to bring a chatas, then it would just be unconsecrated. And there is a specific prohibition against shchitas chulin ba'azara, to slaughter non-consecrated animals in the temple courtyard. However, here, we're not bringing an animal as a chatas. Usually a chatas is a female goat or sheep, but this is actually a bird. And a bird doesn't have shchita. A bird has malika. The way one slaughters a bird in the Beis Mikdash is with the fingernail, the back of the neck. So the point is that technically it's not shchita. So therefore, you haven't got the technical problem of shchitas chulin in the Azara. The other problem that one might have with offering a chatas misafik is that you are offering the emurim, the sacrificial parts, on mizbeach of chulin, which is also totally forbidden. So if it would be a not certain situation, you wouldn't be able to do it. However, conveniently, when it comes to a chatas ha'of, the bird's an offering, none of it goes on the mizbeach. It's all eaten by the kohen, essentially. And that being the case, there's no concern about having the emurim, the limbs of a chulin animal on the mizbeach. Of course, one would be putting the blood of a chulin animal on the mizbeach, because he does the zrika on the for the chatas ha'of, but that's not a problem. There actually is no problem with putting chulin blood on the mizbeach, so therefore it's going to work out that one actually technically could bring a chatas bird misafik. He would just make a tanai. He would say if it's, well, we'll discuss the tanai in a second, the conditions in a second. One thing just to speak out is, even though it's being brought, the Kohen certainly cannot eat this bird, because if it really wasn't obligated to be brought, so then this bird was slaughtered with malika, not shchita, and malika with the fingernail on the back of the neck of the bird is not a kosher shchita, so the animal really is a nevela. It's only kosher if it was a korban, but if it's not a korban, then it's a nevela, and therefore the Kohen can't eat it because it would be a suffolk nevela. Okay, so here says Mishnah, therefore, Elum mevios ve'eno ne'achal, the following women will bring their korban, and actually it's a pair of korbanos, an ola and a chatas, after a miscarriage, but not, it's a suffix, therefore won't be eaten. The following scenarios is, first of all, hamapeles ve'en yadua mahi pila, a woman who miscarried, but she doesn't know what it was she miscarried. For example, this is not uncommon, it was, she miscarried in the toilet and she flushed it, so she didn't see what came out, so she can't see that it conformed to the requirements we saw in the previous Mishnah, we just don't know what it was. And therefore, she will be in a situation of having to bring a possible set of korbanos for Yoledes. So she'll bring an ola. The ola, she can bring, whether it's a bird or a keves or a sheep, she will make that a conditional offering. And the condition will be, if she's obliged to bring it, then it's her obligatory ola. And if she wasn't obliged to bring it, because what she miscarried didn't make her be Yoledes, wasn't a vlad, so then she will be bringing a voluntary nadava, a voluntary ola. That's fine. As far as the chatas goes, so she will again make, she, no conditions made at all. She simply brings it, and the kohen just won't eat it because he can't eat it. Hence, it's brought, but it's not eaten because maybe it wasn't obliged. In which case, it's a nevela. The second case is v'chein. Second case of a suffolk where she brings a chatas but it's not eaten is shtei nashim shehipilu achas memin pator va'achas min chovava. One woman gave birth to a she was exempt. Whatever she miscarried didn't obligate her to be a Yoledes. It wasn't a Vlad. No korbanos required. But the other one did miscarry something which was a Vlad, and therefore that one was obliged to bring the pair of korbanos. But they got mixed up. In that scenario, so since she doesn't, each one of the two women don't know which one is the one who has to bring the korbanos, each brings the korban, each makes a tanai, and says, you know, again, makes a tanai on the ola, saying if I'm obliged to bring it, then this is my ola, and if not, then it's just a nedava, voluntary ola, and the chata she brings, and no conditions are put on it, the kohen knows not to eat it. When is that the case? That's where the two women, after giving their birth to the kohanim, went in opposite directions. They're not in one place at one time. And therefore, each one sort of stands alone, and therefore, each brings a pair of birds. The ola is offered, and the chata is offered, but not eaten. Says Rabbi Yossi, if they were standing together, these two women, so then, mevios korban v'ne'echal, they would bring... Each would bring their own ola, and again, with the tanai, the condition saying either it's my obligatory ola, if that's what I need, or it's my nadava, my voluntary ola. And then they bring one bird between the two of them. Each one says, if I'm the one who has to bring this chatas, so then it's mine. And the other one says, and if it's not for me, then I relinquish ownership. And the other one says the same. So that way, one bird is being brought for these two women, because it's exactly one of the two of them who has to bring the chatas. Now, there's a machlokas rishonim if Rabbi Yossi is coming to explain what the Tanakhama holds or to argue with the Tanakhama. According to the Rosh, he, like Tosos, he is coming to explain. And therefore, there's no machlokas. And therefore, the din will be, says the Rosh, that if the women are standing together, they bring two birds each for an ola, each with a condition, and one bird is a chatas between the two of them. If they were separate, then they bring two chatos each. However, the Rambam learns no. Rabbi Yossi is disagreeing with the Tanakhama. Halacha follows Tanakhama. And therefore, even if two women come together, says the Rambam, each one brings two birds. We don't have conditions to share a chatas. It's not a thing. And therefore, each woman brings two birds. The ola will be either obligatory or voluntary. And the chatas both bring misafik. And neither one of those two birds, according to the Rambam, is eaten.